Blog Talk Radio.
Gathering of the Griots. I am right here. And, you know, this is the point where I get so excited, but at the same time, I have to, like, maintain a level of calm. Let me stop. Anyway, that's because the event is on Saturday, and, oh, my God, you know, is everything done? Is everything handled? But it feels like old hat. We've been doing this since 2016, and so what? Let's get it on. And there's so many great people involved now that bring their levels of expertise. We're going to bring them up in the show today, right? So there's some people that are new, some people that have been there before, but I want to start the show introducing a sister. We've actually had an opportunity to see her before on the show, but baby. She's bringing an energy we've never had at the event before. And so I had to bring her on, just give you a little, ooh, a little taste. Let's give it up to my girl, Dionne Victoria. Bring her to the stage. What's up, lady?
Yes.
I'm loving life. You see, look, you got a friend with you, huh? Look at that KT. Yes, I love that. So Dionne Victoria, you guys, is a fine artist. For real, like no other, because, you know, she's so mellow, but then she's got energy. Like, she could, when I see her in the street and I bust out and dance, she know how to bust out and dance. Boom, ah, tickety, da, oh, ah, eh, right? So, Dionne, thank you. Al, thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about, like, you as an artist. Where in the world did this come from? And then you're bringing to the book fair this art party. I don't even know what that is, but I was like, yep, you can do it. Yes, so tell us a little bit about what is up with this. Where did this come from?
Oh, that's a deep question. Well, it's not that deep. it's just something I've done for my entire life. My dad is an artist. He went to the Academy of the Arts downtown, which was at the time very prestigious, very like a big deal, being a black man at this art school downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I believe he was one of maybe two other two students,
black students.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he got that information. He taught me how to be a professional artist. I've been selling my art since I was 16. As you know, before that, I wasn't driving yet. So it had to be like freshman, sophomore year in high school. I've been making art and selling it to my teachers, actually. They saw all my work, and it was like, let's hire her. So that's just kind of like how I got started as an artist. It's always been in my blood. Literally, it's also something I find my relief. It's also how I teach. When we were going through the greetings at the beginning there, I felt at home. She said, I'm going to let they all. I was like, hey, it's my life. little bit in that space. And also, it's just the way that I take care of my children. It's my, it's how I make money. That's my main source of income, being an artist, a visual artist mostly, and also being a performing artist. I've been writing also since high school and didn't know that I was good at it until I started hearing folks around me, and they're like, oh my God, you have to perform this. I'm like, really?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you caught me off guard. Like, that was like, I was like, ooh, wait a minute. How did this occur? So, yeah. Okay, good. Like, you know, I'm going to tell you something. This is just an observation about daughters that get to experience their fathers. They almost always follow what the father does. No, for real. I'm like, it's a little uncanny in a good way, because it's like, you ask any successful black girl, where do they get it from? And I've just heard it time and time again. My dad did blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I think that's just a bomb that you took it. You know what I'm saying? You did something with it. You obviously had some support if you were doing this before you, you know, were in high school, before you were driving, that it was made not only okay, but made a way of life. Like, this is what we do. So tell me, what's up with that? Who is that in that picture next to you?
Yes. So I brought this piece out kind of like, oh, you know what? Let's share. This is Margaret Walker.
Nice.
And what you can't see, or maybe you can, yeah, there's words all over, because that's actually one of her poems.
Mm.
And there's actually pages, like articles. It's a lot of research that actually goes into these pieces. I call them the legacy pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I brought her out because she's a poet. She was a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And she contributed to poetry and to the world in so many ways. Mm-hmm. All over the U.S., but she did have a little bit of an influence in Chicago as well, which was all delighted. Like, it's interesting because I never really know about these people. And then I started reading, like, oh, my God, she has an art center, not an art center, a research center in Birmingham. That's how I stumbled across her, because I was researching another artist in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. So that's her story as far as I know, but Margaret Walker is her name.
Absolutely, baby. That's what I'm talking about. We love a Margaret Walker. We actually love to highlight our writers here in Chicago, because there's so many, from Gwendolyn Brooks to Lorraine Hansberry. So thank you for bringing her and even making her court. Because, you know, the way your stuff come out, that's some more ancestral, let me show you what to do, let me tell you what to do type of thing. And I really, you know, I just appreciate it. Now, we had a chance to go to the gallery. Y'all, look, now, is this all your work here?
That is, yes, the piece. But this also, let me keep in mind, the Margaret Walker's right there behind me.
Yeah.
It's a collaboration with my partner. So those other pieces are 100% me, but he and I work on these pieces, the legacy pieces, together.
Because what are they, multimedia or something? They sound multimedia.
He's an abstract artist, so he helps, like, me to see things a little differently. And then I'm a portraiture artist, so
he's seeing
things
a little differently. Wow, that's dope, because having to work with somebody when you know that you know what you want, and then to allow another energy to contribute, that's the bomb. That's just good. That's what you want in your life. And so tell me a little bit about this art party. What in the world is that? Where did that idea come from? Because when you brought it to me, I was like, yep, you could do it.
I'm trying to remember when it started. I've done different iterations of it. There are different iterations of it, from the meditate and create to the therapeutic arts. So there's different ways that it has come to fruition. But actually, in that space on 79th, I want to say that was probably the first time it was a solid art party. And what that means is, we get together, we party, and we make art. And we can make whatever we want. The only rules are the materials, whatever's there. So basically, I pull out whatever I have available. So we'll have different stations set up. We'll have a collage station, a watercolor station, as well as a wooden craft station where you can build 3D things.
Mm.
And of course, with it being Summer Fair, we're going to be making books.
So look, I'm choking on my woo-woo. But here's the thing, the reason why that was so attractive to me is because there's so many ways to communicate. And the Soulful Chicago Book Fair really is beyond just tables and chairs and books. It's about, yo, how are we flexing words? What are we doing right now? Like, are we writing books? Are we composing songs? And I've always wanted to add art into the Soulful Chicago Book Fair because that ain't nothing but visual storytelling. Like, period. You know what I'm saying? You said in that painting right behind you, you have, you know, articles, you know, words. It's multimedia, so it's a way for people to express themselves. And, you know, sometimes in our community, yo, the skills are incredible. But people just be doing what they know how to do, right? And so I love the art for that reason. But also, to me, art is a way to show that you can duplicate this whole physical universe. You can duplicate it. Who can draw like that? Like, who can make that? I'm like, I don't know. I can't do that. So, I mean, art is, you know, it's so funny. In Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard says something about you can tell sort of the emotional tone of an environment based on how many artists it has. Because you guys as artists create, constantly reinventing. And so the fact that you could bring that to the book fair and that people will be experiencing that at the book fair, I'm so excited about that, guys. Yeah, because that, you know, it's going to give them an opportunity to express themselves in a way through, you know, proper instruction. Because I always, even for young people, I always give them their props because you're talking about, people might say, oh, kids today don't read and write as much as we did. But that's not true because they text and they post and they use emojis. And people want to say, oh, they're talking in emojis. Don't act like we don't come from hieroglyphs. Come on now. We've always used symbols and images to speak. And so do you find that you do that? Like you use these
Absolutely.
Images to speak?
Come on. I mean, what I find in art is that everybody can communicate, like you were saying. And when people are, like, in stressful situations or in spaces of, like, it's hard for me to communicate. It's hard for me to open up and show who I am because of whatever stigma, whatever thing that has been placed on me and put in my head, put in a pillar's place. And what I find with art, and this is where the therapeutic art kind of grew from, is that when you can get somebody who doesn't really want to talk or doesn't even really want to write, but if they can just draw some pictures, after a while, you can sit quietly and let them draw pictures, they'll start talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, oh, hey, I didn't know. I didn't know you were having these thoughts and feelings. And now that you've gotten your hands busy mm-hmm. and you can kind of, your breath changes, right? When the breath enters the, I didn't come science free, I came art.
We'll take it.
When the breath rubs those lands, it just calms you down and just makes you
Mm-hmm.
Before I was in a, and that's what we do when we're stressed out. But art makes you sit down, it makes you sit still, it gets your hands busy, it makes your mind relax.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it in a very peaceful way. Meditation, I have to say, well, everybody wanted to, we got to be quiet. Oh, we got to be still. Meditation, it's so difficult. But if I say, here's something to write with, here's some paper, sit down, be quiet, they'll do it.
It's true. And
it's a lot of the similar effects.
That's right, because they love it. I watch children, and I actually watch adults, because when I do my workshop, with my books, primarily the one with the about the anti-corporal punishment, beating black kids. Yo, I have those adults. They have to illustrate the particular thing. We're not going to sit and talk about it and be intellectual and all that. We're not doing that, boringness. But I pass that paper out, and when I pass those crayons and markers out to the adults, at first, they'd be like a little bit like, I don't know how to draw. And I'd be like, you're going to do it today, though. You're going to do it. This, I give them the assignment. and you kind of watch them. Get in it, you know, feel it, do it. So I love that you're bringing that to the table. It's going to be an art party, y'all, that energy. So when you come in there, yes, you're going to be vibing with books, but then you're going to see this whole space of where you can create. Your children can create. Your grandchildren can create. And that's throughout the whole day. You know, we start at 10. So if you come in at 10, shoot me, sit up. But you throughout the day will have an opportunity to take part in that, show your work. You know, we're going to have to do a little show and tell, let people show their work and do all of that, because that's what we do. You know, I want to see their interpretation of what they create through you. And so I love that. Now check it, y'all. So I think the first reason, though, I contacted you was because I got to see you perform at one of our events. So I had an open mic session, y'all, in a garden on the south side. Here in South Shore, they've been wanting to pull the book fair to the South Shore area, so they did a series. When I say they, it was a collection of sort of South Shore activists that are community activists, right? Yeah, Ian, I love you. But anyway, so they had me doing this outdoor, my open mic set. So, kookamunka lucka lucka, here come Dion, right? Yo, I was like, what's happening right now? And she was so good. I was like, she has to perform for the book fair, like as a performer. And so that's where this idea of the art party kind of extended from. But I want you to share a little bit with the audience of your skills. Because she will be performing, y'all. Don't play. She's on the bill for both.
I'm just giving y'all a taste today, just for that very reason, because y'all have to come on Saturday.
Yeah.
Y'all don't get to hear the whole of nothing. You have to be here Saturday if you
want to
hear the whole of something.
The whole of something. All right, let me give you stage right now. Oh, I'm giving you full stage.
How can I put my wings and try to stay grounded? You know, God, and my ancestors got me surrounded. How can I not set free the cage bird that loves to sing when I've been blessed with love and family and everything? Everything needed to make me a better person. Deep inside me, so evolving is my purpose, to fit it with truth as I take time to speak to you about the good times and bad times that I've been through. I'm a chef today.
Ooh, how she gon' tease? Don't tease the people. Tease the people. Because, you know, yo, I mean, and you did a literary slay for us right there, too. I heard the cage bird sing. I heard that. And so, yes, she will be one of the people performing for us at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair this Saturday, y'all, this Saturday. And all the entertainment will kind of start around 12-ish. So you want to be there by noon, because you don't know what we're going to do. You don't know what's going to be coming up. But I do, you know, love that you have that skill. Ooh.
So many skills.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, when you're a mom, right, you're a mom of two. Do you use any of that? Because I think sometimes when we're mothering, there's so much mothering going on that I had to think one time, yo, you could do this, you know. You do know how to do this and then impact her. Do you see any of this skill set you have impacting even your own children and the way that they do?
Absolutely.
go ahead.
Both of them have made a song at this point.
Yes.
Mason is a published artist.
Mm.
We have done so many. In fact, they both performed with me once. I did a show, and they were like, we want to get on stage. I'm like, you know what? Get up here. And they performed their songs that they made up.
Nice.
And they are both visual artists. I think my daughter, Katie, she's going to be more of a writer, because my notebooks are just starts writing on the line.
Oh.
Like, she's writing words.
Oh, because how old is she?
She's 3, used to be 4 at the end of May.
Mm-hmm. So she's already rocking the she's writing the book.
She says, I want to be like mommy. She's next to me with her notebook. Mm. And I'll be writing my notebook, and she'll be writing in her.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. my son, same thing. I think he's leaning more towards the science side of things.
Okay.
When I was pregnant with him, I was in school to be a science teacher.
Mm.
And when he was born, we were really, really focused on our science and our readings and our all kinds of things. So it's gotten to the point where he's looking at his baby, because I so happen to have the book here.
Ow!
It's a science.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, on his own, took this book and started writing, drawing the pictures, and labeling them.
Yes. In the art, right? You could see all kind of civil treatment of children for African people in their art. And so you need art to set not only the tone, but to procure the future. Because the art stays. You know, they be trying to knock off our noses and stuff. They be trying to, we gonna knock off the Sphinx nose, but be quiet now. Ain't nobody silly. So my thing is really having our young people and our adults get into the art, baby, and be able to talk through the art. They already, like I said, they already going towards all the use of emojis. They be having little hidden stuff. We already know that. They be saying hidden things with the emojis. But the point is this idea of setting up a language with imagery and with symbols and to understand that language. That's a thing, yo. Like I said, like hieroglyphs. So the fact that you'll be doing that is Hercules, what we love. Is there anything that people like, you said you sell your paintings, and will you have them at the book fair?
Yes, so I'll be bringing some prints. I'll bring a couple art pieces. Margaret Walker might be one of those following me that day. But I'll bring a few things that people can look at and look into. I'll also be sharing some information about some of the other stuff that I do, because I, like I mentioned, do a lot, one of which is being the director of STEAM and CEO Superheroes, where we offer all types of programming for families, for children, for homeschoolers, you name it. We're really, really working to get this idea around science and art that they are intertwined, they are related, and you can make a profit off of being an artist or scientist of some kind. In addition to that, I am the co-founder and president of the Hips Academy, y'all. And we're a nonprofit organization. Both of these organizations are places in which you can experience the therapeutic arts, which is a program that takes you through several stages of self-reflection through the arts. So all of those things are just small of the bits, many of the bits that make up what I do and who I am. So I'm really excited to come Saturday to share this, to be able to perform. Yeah, there I am.
Don't get it twisted. I'll put you up there now.
It's me.
Nice. No doubt.
Isn't that the actual open mic in the garden.
I wasn't lying, y'all. Like, she was out in the garden.
Yeah.
What? Just rocking. Oh, look. Boom. Right? So, yeah, that's why you know you're authentic. Boop, boop, boop. It's there. But, yeah, definitely, this is the moment where I discovered your excellence in, you know, what you do with your words in addition to your painting. So I just want to say thank you. And, y'all, be ready for her that day with everything that she offers. Bring it all, girl, so people can see and continue to be a part of what you do, because you're dope. That's what we love. You guys, thank you so much. Thank you, my love, Dion. We're going to take our break and come back with some more excellence, but we'll be ready for your art party on Saturday, my dear.
Yay.
Peace.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, we got a little commercial break. When we come back, we are going to rock out. Look, I'm going to leave her name up there. Leave it out there. Leave it out here, but it don't matter. But we're going to come right back after these messages and have some more excellent people. We're going to the author realm after these messages. See you in a minute.
The SoFo Chicago Book Fair presents its 2024 Spring Fling, Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Over 100 titles by black authors, fiction, nonfiction, and children's books. Free admission open to all ages for book buying galore. Featuring localist Sherry Soul, Dion Victoria's Art Party, Music Magic Time for the Children, Great Food, lots of fun, and much, much more. Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Lady Shabazz Academy, 78 and Ellis. Special thanks to our sponsors, CEO Superheroes, Soulful Chicago Book Fair, Spring Clean. Be there.
All right.
Hi, Nyquist. And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're at business, that is greatness. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repairs, transportation services, child care services. Whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media image. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
That's right. Let your business make you money. You can actually advertise here on the Female Solution. You can have your commercial shown during my show or any show during the week because the Female Solution has a show every day of the week. And during it, you can promote your book, promote your business, all that good stuff. Just let me know, and you know I'll hook you up. Now. I'm about to bring to the screen a brother who, what? Wrote a book. A sister introduced me to him and said, I guess he had a book. She was like, you need to connect with a daughter. Yo, the connection has been absolutely dope, and it's what I've been needing in my universe, a lawyer to come to the table, right? Because as you grow, you're going to need that legal handle. But he wrote a book. What are we doing? The brother wrote a book. You didn't know that they had that side, right? You think legal, you think maybe stern. This is not how you be, brother. But they think stern, but this brother got heart and put it in the book. I'm about to bring to the table none other than a brother. Manati Jenkins. How are you, brother?
Hi, Asada. How are you?
I'm loving life. Just waiting for you to come aboard and tell us a little bit about your world. So thank you for being here big time, taking your time to, you know, come together with us. Now, let me say this for you guys that are watching. If you want to call in and speak to anybody on the show or comment, the number is going across the screen. That's 727-731-5192. So, yes, so brother, talk to us a little bit about your book. Why in the world or what made you think about writing the book you wrote? It's called Race, Lust, and Justice, y'all. Give it to us.
Thank you, Asada. Hopefully my image is a little dark here.
That's that window. Remember I told you about that window? You got a lot of sun.
Yeah, I have the blinds down, but...
You got a lot of sunshine, but you look good right now. Let's do it.
Well, that's where I have my desk set up. But
yep.
Thank you so much, Asada. And by the way, you're excellent at this. Oprah can learn some things from you.
She an Aquarian, too. Look, she an Aquarian just like us.
Exactly. So, Race, Lust, and Justice. So, Sana, back in, like, 2009, I was in my apartment in downtown Chicago, and I've always been an avid reader, but since I started practicing law in about 1996, I discovered a genre called legal novels.
Mm.
People probably heard of John Grisham, Scott Turow, some of these other people. So I would be an avid reader of these legal novels. One day I had what some would call an epiphany, and I said to myself, you know, I could do this. And whatever I was reading, I just put it down, opened up my laptop, and just started typing. Now, that was 2009. I put the book down multiple times, which... As I'm sure you know, Sada, that's one of the things that authors will tell you not to do. They tell you to keep writing every day. If you put it down, you won't pick it up for a long period of time, and that's what I did. I had fits and starts over several years, and I finally finished it in October 2022. And it's, again, a legal novel, meaning that there's a core legal issue or issues involved, but at the same time, there's drama, lust. There's excellence in the legal field that I try to present to people in a way that people can understand. And I think it's a great story. What I've decided to do is I'm going to write a series of novels, similar to my favorite writer, Walter Mosley, in which I have the same protagonist character, who is an attorney. His name is Leonard J. Morris, and he will have different types of cases that he deals with, mainly criminal cases. And generally speaking, I like to have a surprise ending. So I think my book has done well so far. The people who've had a chance to read it have all loved it. I think I've gotten all five stars on Amazon, and hopefully that will continue.
Now, let me tell y'all something. You know, what I love, and I'm going to have you tell it, so you're going to say what kind of lawyer you are, but then you have to become a different type of attorney to write this book, correct? Like, you had to research and change sort of who you were as an attorney to even do the book. Talk a little bit about that.
You're absolutely right, Asada. I do mainly commercial and civil law, so I'm a business lawyer. But I know that, at least I think that generally speaking, people aren't excited about business issues, especially if they will sit down and read a novel for over some period of time. So I made sure that this novel was about a criminal issue, which I think really attracts people's attention. So what I had to do is I had to do my own research on what criminal lawyers do, the criminal laws in the state of Illinois, because the book is based in Chicago, or the setting is in Chicago. And I got up to speed on everything. I also had consultation with good friends who were criminal lawyers if I ever had any questions about anything. So I was able to reinvent myself to become a criminal lawyer, even though I have to emphasize, Asada, that this character, Leonard J. Morris, is not me. I've had to say that to many people, including my mother. When my mother was reading the book, she would say to me, "Now, remember when you did this or you did that to Mom? This character's not me." But as people pointed out, it's in my voice. I speak through the first person. If people who know me, they read it, they say, "That sounds like Nye." But as I said to my mother, "Mom, as you get more into this book, you see that this guy's not me. He's not me. He doesn't have my experiences." But so going back to your point, yes, I had to learn the criminal law in order to express it and convey it to my readers. And I think I was able to accomplish that.
Absolutely. Look, I'm reading it myself now. I'll be on the bus getting it under my belt, reading the book and getting it. Yeah, no doubt about it. So now you, as we see in this image, gotta show it. How in the world, how you get Felicia Rashad getting that book? Wait a minute, where was that?
That was actually at Howard. At Howard University. I don't know if you recall, up to recently was the dean of the School of Fine Arts, which is now the Chadwick A. Boseman School of Fine Arts.
Okay.
And the person on that picture with her is my brother, who's always been, you know, number one, my hero, number two, one of my greatest supporters. He's an architect and artist. And actually, he was the designer of the cover. And when the book first came out, he ran out, I think he bought like five of them. And maybe a night or two after he bought it, there was some event on the Howard campus at the School of Fine Arts, and he went there and he saw Felicia Rashad and he told her about the book and took a picture with her, and hopefully it will open up some additional avenues.
Look, I said, "Oh, this Big Willie right here, what? He don't look. He don't just have little Betty on the side holding the book. He gonna say, 'I'm gonna have Felicia Rashad holding the book.' That's what he gonna do." When I saw that, I was like, "Oh, excuse me."
I have to give my brother all the credit for that.
No doubt. We do have a caller, so I want to take that call. 773-221, you're on air. Say your
Admiral
name.
Admiral Nelson Bay. Admiral Nelson Bay. You know, I want Haki Madhubuti to publish my book, Andrew Nelson, America's Black Hitler. It's going to be Third World Press.
You said the main character is not you. But how hard was that? It's challenging to not put yourself in there. Like, what's good is that you have a legal mind, so that whole being able to separate it and make sure that there's no incrimination to yourself. Like, what was that process like for you, you know, making the story and making sure you kept it separate from who you really are?
That's an excellent question, Azada. And I would like to think it has to do with tapping into my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a litigator. That's what I do. And as litigators, we tell stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I do every day. We tell stories to juries. We tell stories to judges. And that's not to say it's false. It's just to say that we are able to create a scenario based upon the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I sat down and I thought about what I wanted my plot to be. And it just developed over time. And, you know, clearly these are thoughts that I've had in my mind that I've expressed on paper, but I made sure that I didn't identify too much of me. I think maybe 2% of Leonard J. Morris may be me. For instance, he was a Howard undergrad, but he went to a different law school than I did. He was married with a son. I'm divorced with four daughters. And, you know, his parents had names that I think tracked my parents' initials, but they were people that were totally different from my parents. He had siblings that were similar to my siblings, but again, different. So to clearly answer your question, I would say it was just about mental gymnastics and my creativity. And ironically, one of the things I'm a little taken aback by, I don't want to say offended, but a little taken aback by is when someone says, that's you. And I say, no, it's not me. And when you say that, you take away from my imagination, my creativity. You act as if I can only write about something that I personally experienced. And I can tell you 95 to 98% of that is just not my life.
Mm.
So my imagination, my creativity.
I love that you can have that. Like I said, like, y'all, I could tell he an attorney. Do you hear how he's talking? You hear how he's even addressing me? He's like, that's a good question, Asada. Blah, blah, blah. I said, ooh, this boy, if he was in the courtroom with me, I'd be like, yeah, it's her. Now, what?
I've got a fun side, too. My friends and family, mm-hmm. my daughters will tell you, I mean, I've got this side of me that's so crazy. My daughters, they range from age 37 down to 22.
Wow.
I was growing up in particular, I'm a bit personal clown. Trying to make jokes about everything. And even now with the internet, I'm sending them stuff. And I'm like, look at this. This is funny. Sometimes they think it's funny. Sometimes they don't think it's
true. True. We already know.
But that side of me. Maybe it's an Aquarius thing. I don't know.
You already know. Don't have me do a whole Aquarian show. I'll do an Aquarian show up here. Oh, you Aquarius up here. Mm-hmm. But yes, indeed, I love that you have that, because I'm going to tell you, as an attorney, for me, it makes you more palpable. Like, I feel like I can trust you differently because, you know, artists are who we are. We have this creative piece that I think maybe it's a consideration we have that it's not taken, I don't know, seriously, right? I think I had a consultant that she wasn't used to all this, you know, hand wraps and relaxed and all that. And I believe she treated me a certain way because there was the assumption that I didn't have that sort of straight-laced do business reality. But what I like about who you are is, yep, you can infuse creativity with what you're doing with your legal work, which I do want to talk about a little bit because, see, when y'all read the book, there's an expertise in it. That's the thing about it. You know how actors have to research to really embody the character? Nah, he is that. Not the character, but he's the legal specialist that can really put the details of that in the writing and in the excitement. So just really quick, tell people what you do, though. Like, what issues do you handle as a lawyer? Because I know people are like, oh, I need him. Please, I need him. Go ahead. Tell them what you do.
Well, one of my specialties is in intellectual property. What that is that deals with the legal principles behind certain creative avenues, copyrights, trademarks, a little bit of patents, something called rights to publicity. You probably heard more about that recently with the NIL deals that the athletes are doing in college now, wherein people have a right to commercialize their own image. So I do those types of things as well. I also represent mainly small businesses and all sorts of matters that they deal with, general counsel work, whether that be contracts, some real estate issues, mergers and acquisitions, things of that nature. So I do what's called the transactional side. But my main area is litigation, taking to court. And there's normally a discussion or a dispute over money. So that's largely what I do is commercial and civil litigation, which is also just conflicts over various issues, in which the centerpiece is not necessarily money, but some other issues. I don't do family law at all. It's just so personal. I don't like getting into divorce stuff. And I actually don't do criminal law, which I find to be very personal as well. But my writing is all about criminal law.
Look, check this out, y'all. Not only, you know, and it's so funny because I'm actually building this brother's website. Boo, 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 boo. So they'll be ready to go for the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. But I do love one of your quotes here, people that left testimonies. They said, race, lust, and justice is a page-turning legal thriller that hits on all three words in the title. The author does a great job of building the characters and captures what happens when you mix race and the legal system. Leaves me waiting for more, and I can't wait for the next novel from this great legal mind. Now, let me say this, because I saw this on your Facebook page, I think. Is this the comment that the husband was like, wait a minute, I said that, but I was under my... that's so funny. So what was the deal with that? What did you say?
I think he said that he used his wife's Amazon account.
Okay.
He used her account. Her name came up.
That's so funny.
He's been in touch with me. That was since the book came out. He immediately got it, and he read it, and he's just loved it ever since. So I told her I'm actually working on another one now.
Nice.
And very early in the process, but I'm not going to put it down like I did last time. And I'm hoping to finish it by the end of the year.
That's what we're talking about. And see, people don't really understand the power of books. This is a way, like, you've made me more interested in just looking at the legal aspects of just life, our lives, you know. And then all the time you hear people talk about the necessity, you got to have a lot of, but it's like, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to look at the legal part. I want to just put this music up here, and I don't want you telling me what to do right now. But, you know, your ability to really be able to sift through that, I've been able to refer this brother. People come to me with legal issues. I'll be like, hold on, what you need? Hold on, I got a brother. Let me show you. Send him over there. And I mean, it's trademarks. It's all kind, and we need that. Like, as artists, we need your type of legal assistance. And so, I'm just happy that you exist for us to help guide us in that. You did a book, and you created it, but it's like the gateway for us to really come into your world and really see how what you do, how you think. And so what do you want for the future of the book? What do you see? I know you talked a little bit about creating a series.
Yes.
What kind of impact do you want Race, Lust, Justice to have first?
I actually would like to see this book on the big screen. I'm not sure if that's too high of a goal, but I would love to connect this book and have someone do a screenplay of it. And everybody who's read it has said to me, I can see this as a movie. And so I that's what I want to see with Race, Lust, and Justice at some point. And, I'm sure it will have to cut a lot of things, as you know, whenever you read a book and then you see the movie, you see what the book had that the movie did. There's usually a lot of details in the book that won't be expressed in the book.
Exactly.
But I want to see the core themes expressed in a motion picture.
Yo, that's what I love. That right there. I actually went to school for television and film. And in my own mind, you know, there are stories and writing. But, like, yes, the need to put it on a screen,
Hercules. Like, I think that is the vibe. You talking about silver screen? You want a theory? What you want?
Yeah, I mean, probably silver screen.
Silver screen.
I think that I don't really see a series necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but at least, you know, one big movie, hopefully, and hopefully that some of my others will do the same thing as you, you know, with John Grisham. I love a lot of it. One of the John Grisham movies is one of my favorites. I think it's the one called The Rainmaker.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that one, but that's one of my favorite movies.
Mm.
And so I would like for this book or some of my future books to get that same type of one.
I'm curious because I feel like I saw this word more than once in your reviews. What's the thriller part of it? Without telling us the story, what is the thriller part of your book?
Well, why don't I say this? I don't want to give it away.
Right.
I think as one of the persons who endorsed the book said, it made the main character realize that everybody is not who they appear.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's, there's an intercourse between the main character and his law partner, who he's representing. The main character is representing his Caucasian law partner at a big firm, and they became friends. But at the same time, he was representing him. His Caucasian law partner was accused of killing his mistress, who just happened to be a black woman, who was from the protagonist's attorney's neighborhood and went to his church. So, of course, the community is incensed by the fact that he's representing this this white guy who appears killed this woman. And he's representing him, and his whole thing is, well, everybody deserves the representation, it's constitutional, what have you. And the community is like, whatever. This guy killed this young black woman, and you're out there trying to get him off. So in any event, I'm just leaving to say that there was a lot of transformation in the thinking of the protagonist's attorney as to how you deal with people. And like I said originally, he had to come to the conclusion that people aren't always what they appear to be.
Now, look at the sun coming through my window. Why don't you stop doing that? Golly, living by the lake. So, question. Where you come from and how you find a spot in the Soulful Chicago Book Fair? What in the world? How did that happen?
Well, I'm originally from South Carolina, John Valley, South Carolina, which is right outside of Charleston, the Charleston County area, and went to Howard University in Washington, D.C. I ended up in the Midwest to Indianapolis and then ultimately to Chicago. And right now I'm back on the East Coast, but I still have my main law office in Chicago, so I'm always in Chicago, very often. And I met Asada through a client, through a wonderful client who I did the trademark work for, and I know she's an author as well, a children's author, Penny. And we reconnected, and I said, Penny, I'm looking for somebody to help promote my book and also promote my law practice. And she said, well, I got this name of Stata who founded the book fair that I told you all about, and the rest was history. And I just thank God in the universe for connecting us. I mean, it was just a perfect connection. We did along great. And the work that you've been doing has just been spectacular. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you. It is a very auspicious union because, you know, expertise. I love competence. I just love competence. I loathe incompetence. And the thing is, when you can connect people where you don't have to babysit them, those decisions just start popping. And everything just starts flowing. And the next thing you know, you have what you expected and more. You got more than what you expected. And so what I love, and I'm going to see if we can see this again, because, ooh, when y'all see him at the book fair, wait a minute, Sal. When y'all see him at the book fair, look at this. On the side. You see that to the right? Ooh, you're going to see that big banner. I know my logo's in the way, but we all right. You'll see it. But just the fact that you're going to be promoting the book, but then your legal services on top of that, oh, they better be ready. And I just love that you are doing that. And so, hey, I want to say thanks, man, for being here and for being ready, taking the lead. And taking a leap of faith
you know, with us because, you know, who is a solder? Who, I don't know, you know. But I'm glad that, you know, you're in line and ready to roll. And you guys, when you get there, come and meet Manati L. Jenkins. Get that book signed. Come and, yeah, you might need to come there to get his legal services. I think you might have a line of people talking about, you might need some order forms or something where they can write your name, write your situation. I'll call you back because they may be coming to you for that legal service, which you'll be open to that type of communication, correct?
Absolutely. And like one of the rappers that says this out, I can't remember his name. I'm not trying to die anything but my collar.
Ow! Ew! Let it be known. You already know. Man, thank you so much for being here today because this is what it's about. It's about reaching your dreams and not being stuck in a box. It's thinking that, oh, I could just do law and that's all I'm going to do. But to take it into the creative world, much respect to you for that courage and for making a move and doing it because now we can digest it more easily because you're one of us. You one of the literati. You one of the creators, baby. So, yep, I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you.
All day long. All day, y'all. Remember, April 20th is Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You're going to meet these great people and be able to thrive because of it. So we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, be ready for some more excellence. We'll be back in just a minute after these messages.
The Soulful Chicago Book Fair presents it 2024 Spring Flame, Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Over 100 titles by Black authors, fiction, nonfiction, and children's books. Free admission, open to all ages. Book buying galore. Featuring vocalist Sherry Soul, Dion Victoria's Art Party, Music Magic Time for the Children, Great Food, Lots of Fun, and much, much more. Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Betty Chavez Academy, 78th and Ellen. Special thanks to our sponsors, CEO Superheroes, Soulful Chicago Book Fair, Spring Clean. Be there. Important they are, and they learn the mystery to their history.
I'm going to be at the Soul Food Chicago Book Fair, and I'm going to see you there.
Saturday, August
like this every time I show that, I'll be like, oh, the ancestors. So yes, we want to give it up to the ancestors, so appreciative of our literary giants that have gone on, Yesenia Perkins, Kenyon D. Black, like, there have been so many elders to approve what we do here. Humble, 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 nothing else I can say about that, but thank you, and thank you, Amadila, for making the excellence in that tribute. Now, ooh-wee, I love this girl. Ooh-wee, what would I do without her? She's one of them energies that really got me coming back to Chicago because, you know, I don't know what kind of friends y'all have, but this one right here, this tried and true. Not only the tried and true, but she just does stuff on such another level. I am going to bring my girl. Ooh, I can't just say it. Ooh. Wait, let me do the dance. Ooh, stop, stop. He's not. Fo, fo, fo.
Good morning.
Top of the morning, my beautiful. How are you? Oh, wait. She's been with me since I came on this morning. That means since 6-something. So now here she is. She done transformed. So that's
not a t-shirt in the head.
But, y'all, this is MJ Walton. So much respect and thank you for being here today because, man, you not only came when I needed you, but who you've been in this process. And you guys, when I first started the book fair, you know that's going to go, which way is up? Which way is up? That was me. I don't know what I'm doing. Which way is up? So, you know, being able to come and have a person that can...
Didn't know how,
because Saturday was the event. Friday, there wasn't no tables, there wasn't no chairs, wasn't no tents. I was like, what we going to do? Everybody going to sit on the floor, on the ground? Lord, but anyway, they're making it work. We got it done. So I want to do on today, first of all, thank you for being here with me, because I love when my friends are in all of my different circles, but you played a role in that first book fair, and I just kind of want to hear, you know, what was in your mind in terms of your involvement and the why.
Well, my why initially was you, obviously. I mean, from way back to college. And you are infectious, right? In a good way, not the bad kind of infectious.
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Anytime you have an idea, you make sure it comes to fruition and it's done with excellence. And it doesn't matter if this path hasn't been laid out by somebody else already. So when you wrote your own book, I'm sure a vehicle like your book fair would have been great for you. But guess what? Was that vehicle there? There was no bus. There was no car. There was no train. There was no vehicle there. So when you came back here and you recognized a void, and you recognized not only a void, but something that could be of service to so many authors, because there's so much brilliance in our community that doesn't get a chance to shine,
right,
for lack of exposure, for lack of know-how, a lack, right? And so when you came in, you said, guess what, we don't fix that. That's not a problem around here. We're going to have this book fair. We're going to have it on this street. I'm going to get this pregnant. We don't have any money. But guess what, we're going to find the money. We're going to find a way to make it happen. So initially, my involvement was just supporting my friend. In supporting my friend,
I love the mission of it. I love being out in the middle of the street at 2 in the morning putting up tents with, you know, people that we didn't know. We met with a family member or two that didn't think it was the safest idea for, well, I think it was about, what, 4 women? It was like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning trying to assemble tents.
On 61st Street.
On 61st Street.
Between Cottage and King. So, yeah. look, you know, one of the drug dealers was like, I was like, come over here and help me move this barrier. Help me move this. And he was like, Clown, what? You want me to walk? I said, boy, come on. Let's go.
Come on. So, I mean, even just that, the fact that in the middle of the night we're up putting up tips and the neighborhood entrepreneur was able to assist us, you know, it was a blessed event. Mm-hmm. There were no problems, no concerns. I mean, my friend called me the head of security ministry. So regular in there wouldn't feel like it's okay to be in the middle of the street at 2 o'clock in the morning putting up a tent.
Yes.
But that, for this event, for this blessed event, yes. For this event with purpose, for this event with beautiful intent, there was no problem whatsoever.
What?
Don't get yourself up.
What?
Not only the neighborhood pharmaceutical entrepreneur assistant, but remember the young guy? Who was like arguing with his girlfriend or something down the street. And Asada, you remember him?
I think I remember. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Asada's like 4'12".
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So she goes and approaches this man who is having an argument. I'm sorry, it wasn't with a girlfriend. He was like arguing with another guy.
Okay.
I don't think it was about a girl.
Okay. Yes.
And she goes up to them. And like, we're not doing this. That's not what this energy is on this block at this moment. What you can do is come over here and help us put up these tents. Now, that may sound crazy to somebody from the outside, but not if you know Asada. So now we got the neighborhood pharmaceutical entrepreneur. We have the young dude who was about to have a little ghost fist cuff, if you will, over some woman. Now we're all sitting there putting B into C and C into B and putting up these tents.
I'm so glad you remember that story. Because I'll be like, the whole experience, if this is ends up being a blur, at the end, you got this good product. And I think I need to just write a book about the process. Because this ain't no game. Like, this, it is a big game, actually. But it's huge. And people, they're like, hey, people don't really understand, but you have to have people that are not only in your corner, but you have to have people, like I said, with competence that can take the scenario and make it go right, because we were out in the middle of the street. When we say in the middle of the street, we're talking about in the street where the cars go. We're sitting on the ground. One of my images is of you sitting on the ground with your legs spread straight, just putting together tents like a Girl Scout, Lord, looking crazy. But look, I gotta show you.
And assembly is not my ministry. I didn't go to interviews, so I just did, because those are not things that I know how to do well.
That's right. Neither of us.
It's the middle of the night, so whatever street light we had or light from a cell phone, that's what we're working with to put B into C and B into C. And let's be real. I mean, the budget was slim to none. So we were the best tents. So we're not talking about things that slide in easily. We're not talking about things that line up like the diagram says. We're jamming and hammering the shoe and all kinds of bicep strength. What you got to do? When the sun came up, you couldn't say it was first.
Baby, you better know. Look.
We hired a company, okay? Look. And all the workers and everything.
Yes. Girl, look. This is
an entrepreneur and a youngster.
And a youngster. Look, my girl Michelle, she said, what a beautiful story. I like the street fairs, too. It's amazing to get the neighborhood pharmaceutical entrepreneurs involved.
Yes, we did.
There's
a sense of accomplishment and pride that we saw on those two
men.
There was the initial kind of like, who are these women? What y'all talking about? This is some weird stuff. This is not what normally happens in the middle of the street.
Right.
But after they kind of got their first tent up, it was like, okay, now, okay, how do I do the next one? How do I do the next one? Okay, y'all going to be here all day? Y'all good? And then when we saw other people walking down the street, they kind of became automatic and voluntary security. They were like, y'all good, you good, you good. And that is what, I'm sorry, I just looked at myself. On Facebook.
Girl, sorry, you good.
So when that right there before the book start, before the actual book fair even started, you saw the impact of the book fair. It was community changing.
Look what Naima said based on what you, look what you just said and what she wrote. It says the story is a great example of how one person can change the energy in an entire community. Fantastic job. Wow. Hey, I know, right?
Absolutely. And so it takes, what do I say, a pioneer, a trailblazer, a person with vision, and that's what a thought is. And it doesn't matter what naysayers say. It doesn't matter what obstacles you might come up against in terms of, you know, just all the red tape and all the stuff that they make you go through when you're doing good.
Yeah.
And she climbs through that.
Look. No, for real. But the thing is this, y'all, and this has been a challenge, and the reason I even have you up here today, because there's a work that goes into what y'all are experiencing, right? This event that's happening on Saturday, we love it, but there's people behind all of this. Sometimes it feel like the little red hen, the bag going, who will help you make the bread? Not I, baby cat. Not I, baby dog. Like, sometimes it does feel like that. But then there are times when you know, and the people that I do keep in my circle, like I said, they're competent and they could come to the table without me having to say anything, and then you see the full production. And that full production happens in that way because of people that know how to do what they do, or they have a passion and a love for the work, you know. Me and Inde, like I said, we went to school, but we weren't all like, what book did you read today? I don't know. No, we didn't do that. But I knew that you would connect to the vision, not just because you were my friend, but in your own right, you know, your work as a journalist and your work, I mean, you having to tell the story of the world in so many ways. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because I need them to understand the quality of who sits before us. Tell us a little bit about your media world.
My professional world, well, Asada and I both went to Northwestern University, and I was in the Field School of Journalism. So my degree is in print journalism, and then I got a master's in broadcast journalism. Yada, 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 great, whatever. But even as a child, I just like to talk. I like to tell stories. One of my good friends always says, when I start a story, can you put the end as close to the beginning as possible? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I've got to tell you all the details. I've got to give you all the color. And so coming out of Northwestern, one of my first jobs was in the newsroom in Washington, D.C. And from there, I morphed from news into, I'm going to call it edutainment. So I was at BET, but I was always in the news and public affairs department. So I was doing political shows. I was doing town halls on politics. I was doing things like Teen Summit, a teenage talk show. So I feel like for the majority of my career, I've done television that mattered. Like, I liked getting a phone call from a kid at the end of a show saying, you know what, I was going to kill myself today until I saw this episode on suicide prevention. Most recently, I've been in the court television genre, working for two court television shows. It was the Judge Mathis show for a while, and now divorce court. And, of course, I've got my old dreams and aspirations for my own thing, so that is in the works as we speak.
Hercules. So we're talking about, you know, I told you the book says about our ability to tell stories, our ability to communicate, our ability to really take charge of the storytelling of our own lives, right?
Yes.
And so that is...
Look.
I hope I can remember it.
Oh, God.
No, but it's, yeah.
The storytelling of our own
lives. That's right. The storytellers of our own
that gets put out for us is so often just wrong. And not only is it just wrong, then we take it in. We believe it.
And believe
it. We know it's wrong, but we take it in and we start to act on it.
Yep.
And so we need things that feed us, that work for our system, things that don't give us spiritual gas.
Ooh.
And a lot of the narratives that are out there, load us, give us gas, gout, all of it.
Oh, need that gout.
No. Spiritual gout. Yes. All the things. So we need an Asada. We need a book fair. We need, because it's not just, because, you know, some people are like, well, you know, people don't really like to read. Well, that needs to change, one. But two, if you come to the book fair, it's more than just books. There's entertainment. There's a feeling that you cannot describe. It's just blocks and blocks of love, period. And inside, and typically in neighborhoods where people think only bad things happen because that's the narrative that's put out. But what it is a thing of beauty, and the beauty that exists in these neighborhoods all the time is the light shown on it for a change.
No. Say it again. What's that last one?
Come on,
what did I say?
The beauty that exists in our neighborhood that often doesn't get a light show.
Sure.
The book fair does that.
Sure.
All the beauty that exists there that we don't hear about, because that's not what pops on the news.
Right.
That's not what people talk about in the various, you know, threads and various social media.
Mm-hmm.
Bad things that happen often get more light than the good. So on these particular days, you know, you're reminded that there's way more light.
Right.
To the point, the first book fair, Asada got Aaron Robinson booked as one of the performers. So he was the headliner on the stage. But that's not the thing. Like I said, it's not just books. There's multiple stages. There's, you know, there's poetry reading, there's singing, there's dancing, there's some of everything. But one would think sometimes celebrities want to be treated and expect to be treated a certain way. The love, and it also speaks to who he is as a person, but I think that was the year we didn't have the porta potties. Am I correct?
Look, you are correct.
You know, these are the minor things that, you know, just didn't make it. You know, funny. There was a cafe at the end of the block where we kind of turned that into the celebrity green room. But it was really the only place that had a restroom, so everybody was going in there to use it. There announced Eric Robson on the stage. He's standing in line in the cafe behind some people trying to go to the restroom before the show starts. And so he's just standing out there, you know, he's trying to move some people. He's like, I'm supposed to be on stage in 30 seconds, and I got to go to the bathroom. It was no problem. I was like, no, I'll just stand here 5 minutes. If I let him go, then he hits the stage. Everything from outside looking in, shoot, he probably came out of a luxurious green room. The piece with whatever was in his rider, with plants and flowers and incense and candles and such. My man was in the cafe where everybody else. But it's the... When people recognize the mission of what they're participating in, all that other stuff, you know, goes out the window.
No doubt. And people feel a mission. That's the bottom line, y'all. People feel it. That's my intention. I know what I like, and I don't like boring. I like silliness, and I like laughter. Some sister said the other day, I was talking about my happiness, and she was like, I don't know if I'm happy all the time, but blah, 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 whatever she said. And I was just kind of like, I can't even fathom that. And so the book fair is designed to generate that emotion, to make it so that people are coming. And let me say this about reading and books. Y'all stop believing the hype, okay? Let me talk about if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. Well, how could the people that invented writing not want to read? Like, I don't understand what y'all talking about. Not to mention, you're talking about the anti-literacy laws that were made specifically for black people, not for nobody else. And that, you, right, everybody, melanin, right? And so basically, if you got caught reading, they might take your eyes out. They might cut your fingers off. They might take out your tongue. Like, so when you talk about a people that don't want to read, it's a reason. There's never been a pause since that time where we've had any healing. And so that, to me, is part of the call for the Soul for Chicago Book Fair. It is to confront this non-reading nonsense and create a celebration so that we can really come out. And I'm telling you, yo, that first year that we were, it was so many events that day. On the south side, it was like VON and Silver Room, and it's a it was crazy that we had 10 people, but we had like 3,000 people come out that day, right? And into this, get involved. But here's the thing, that's 3,000 people that knew all that we had was books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think that, oh, they might have some shea butter I could buy and some incense. Like, they knew. You come to this, it's
books.
They came for the books. And so I was...
books that you might not see at Barnes &
Noble. Ain't no might not. You ain't. That is a reality. The thing about these, you know, these mainstream, you could go that route if you want. Nobody minds. Whatever. But I know it's hard to find a black book, unless it's Black History Month, in a Barnes & Noble and some of these other spaces. You understand. So, Judy... So I'm just saying... Come on now. Now, so my thing is, beyond February, right, our goal is to really boost up this literary marketplace. Not because we just want to be known for selling books, but these are people's stories. They put their blood, sweat, and tears in those. And for real tears sometimes. Because there's a vulnerability involved in writing a book. And there's a courage that is involved in writing a book. Because your family is usually saying, whatever, they're not really supporting you in the same way, like they're not taking you seriously, like as if you were being a doctor, whatever. But a book fair, nah, we got to make this on a regular. Like, people know I got to get me a book for my granddaughter, I got to get a book for myself, or, you know, and we keep the normalcy of that so that we change the pace. You know, all these brothers writing books and writing content, I mean, not writing books, all these brothers rapping, and that's content. We're not talking about all of that. That's thing. Those can turn into books. Those are their ways of telling their story. And so, I mean, that's what we're doing, like making an opportunity for that to happen. It's really going to be exciting this weekend because, you know, sometimes I don't really know what's getting ready to happen, but I'm feeling the pulse of Saturday. I'm feeling the, like, people, I can see people sharing it on social media. Last night I did this reel to the song, Gonna Have a Funky Good Time. Do, 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 boom, 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 boom. With all of the books, with the books going like this. Boom, 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 boom. What? It's like that. So just creating and just keeping that energy out is important.
Energy.
Yeah.
And around books. I want to go back to something you may have said about 47 years.
Yes.
You said you never had an opportunity to have a healing from the way that we were taken away from wanting to read,
yes,
desire to read. And I think that's the perfect word for the book fair and everything that's around it. It's a healing.
Mm.
It's a healing.
Mm.
It's literary medicine.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Write that down. You can have that one.
Look. Look, what she said? Literary medicine? Oh, it's a wrap. Oh, no, it's a wrap today.
Literally,
I love it.
Our spiritual, okay, I lost it. But
that's okay.
Because
I got too excited with that. Like you said, it's a healing. And that is true, y'all. Like when you said that's not my ministry, this is a literary ministry, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is. Bottom line, and it's because, yo, when I see people in a strizzy, and they out there yelling at their kids, whatever, and I'm on them and I'm giving them my book. It is my book that helps them calm.
Mm-hmm.
Not me saying, girl, you need to stop hitting them kids. It's my book. It's a tool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I had a dude, he was in front of my building, UPS dude, and he was coming out the back of the truck getting whatever out of where. And he said, you that lady that wrote that book, Beating Black Kids? I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he said, you helped me be a better father. He said, my wife was pregnant at that time. And so the way that I fathered that child has a lot to do with reading that book. Look, So I don't take the book fair lightly, because you get to leave the book fair with just experiences that you can live vicariously through. They wrote the book, but you get to be a part of what the authors went through. And then, like the dude Manani just said, brother said, he looked at other people doing it. He said, I could do this. He was like, we inspire people to now take your stuff and put it in a book. The sister that referred Manati to me, I helped her out, met her in the street, maybe at the restaurant down the block, and her books were ideas. Now her books, she may be on a second or third book, but her banners, everything, conceptually, I definitely helped her take it from thought to fruition. So that's for me what we got to do, y'all. We got to really step up to the plate, create what's in here.
And I'm going to say, so now that I've said it on the airwaves, the next summer book fair, my book will be there.
Hold on. We have to take a commercial break for 7,000 years, because I cannot take what I just heard. And they still do what?
Next summer's book fair, absolutely.
Do you know what it's about? What it's about?
So I'm still working out the concept, because I thought it was one thing, but as I write, I feel like it's morphing into something else.
Oh, God, I can't take it. So glad I finished
it. Next summer.
Ooh, that's going to be absolutely.
And it's one of these things where you talked about being vulnerable. I think that's been one of my concerns, because it is based on life experiences initially around dating. But I realize that it's actually much more than that, because the things that have happened in that realm of my life reflect my thought processes in other parts of my life, and I've started to see some parallel stuff. But what I thought was just going to be a fun little light, and then he said, can you believe it? And actually morphed into, I don't know, I don't like the term self-help, but lack of a better one right now.
Yeah.
Like a self-help way. So I will start, and I will type, and then I might get a little scared, and I'll pull back, and I'll watch after the sun is dead. Then a couple of days later, I might come back. So yes, I next summer.
Oh, man, and I'm going to tell you, actually, that was my inspiration for my first book. It was a book event in New York, and I had a decision I could make about doing the book. It was only 5 months away, so it was like chop, 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 and I actually did it. But to use a book event as a goal, it's a good, it helps you set a good pace for yourself to get it done. That is going to be so thoroughly successful. I cannot wait to assist in any way that you desire. Don't let them big boys get there. Big boys gonna be coming for you now. They be having contracts that they, we'll talk about.
We know what those contracts are.
We already know. Sign your life away, boo.
Right. You pull it off in your Maserati and I'm running down to my birthday. No, that's not what I mean.
Exactly. Well, I do want to say thank you so much for coming on today, my lovely Inde. You are just a part of my history.
Yes, and thank you for your vision and your tenacity and your ability to push through all obstacles that pop in your way.
Hold on. Yes.
For the community, we thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you for you.
Yay! You guys will be
spring fling this Saturday, y'all.
Spring fling, literary things, baby. Be up in the place.
Literary things positive.
Look. Oh, look what I made. Watch this. I got to put it up there. Hold on. Watch this. I made this. Uh-oh. It's taking too long. Watch this. Bringing you literary listening.
Literary Litman.
You said literary medicine? It's a wrap. Look, I'm going to find me a way to get that up. I love y'all. We'll be right back after these messages with our last and final fabulous guest. Thank you, Inde. You the bomb. All day long. Let's get it.
Yay.
We'll be back, guys. Stay tuned. Thank you.
Soulful Chicago Book Fairs are the most exciting black book fairs on the planet. Born in July of 2016, Soulful Chicago Book Fairs have both increased the literary marketplace for black writers and given black literature places to find books. The entertainment of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair has been second to none. Audiences travel to its journey level stage.
Training and marketing to help black authors.
authors so they can confidently develop fruitful literary careers. Understanding the past allows one to map out the future. We preserve the story behind the storytelling of activists, writers, leaders, and youth in the Black community through state-of-the-art videography produced by the media partner of the Soulful Book Fair Foundation, Owen Productions International. We transform history into our story.
I purchased my first copy at 19 years old, and I have done more than 20 deals since then. I can teach you, too. Come visit me at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair.
Children today do not read and write as much as we did in the past. Children today actually read and write more than we used to, because they post and text as their primary form of communication. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation creates opportunities for young people to share their stories through special workshops.
So in our African tradition, we can have special programs like this. Usually are always intended with a black man before our kids would not be seen. He was recruiting enslaved Africans for 5 years in Charleston, South Carolina to take over that city.
Lots of fun and much, much more. Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eddie Shiraz, the cat, 78 and out. Special thanks to our sponsors, CEO Superheroes, Soulful Chicago Book Fair, Spring Clean. Be there.
All right, I got to give it up. I got to give it up. Look, I got to give it up right now. Let me tell you who makes much of this possible is these babes right here. Look, CEO Superheroes. Woo, 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 woo. Those are our sponsors for this event. And let me tell you, CEO Superheroes is a group that I work with. We've done podcast training. They'll be presenting the podcast that they created last week and just so much more. They did photography with my daughter, so they'll be showing their photography, so they'll be a big part of the book fair as well. But without further ado, I'm bringing on a sister. Hold on. Let me look at this literary lit. Let me get that off the screen. I got a sister who has been rolling with me for quite a while. And so if you know me, you see this symbol on my neck? Boo, boo, boo. I am a proud Scientologist, baby. Proud, because I know what it does. I know how it helps to build people, right? And so none other, than the whole hookup. Yep, Church Scientology, John Eric Foundation will be in the house on Saturday. So if you ever had a curiosity about it, oh, they're going to be up in there. And there's so much to offer. But I got a sister that is in the mix that's going to let us know about it. Because she's been rolling with me in Scientology. She's probably been there longer than me, but we're going to find out right now. Let me see if Khadijah Solomon is on the line. Khadijah, are you there, darling?
I'm here. Good morning, Chicago.
Good morning, baby. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm loving it now. Y'all see that picture up there? That's Khadijah. Y'all going to hear her voice. That's her picture. That's the voice that's talking. So, Khadijah, you hear her say, good morning, Chicago, right? That's because she's from New York, but she lives in Chicago now, straight up representing Scientology. Khadijah, tell us a little bit about yourself and why are you even vibing with Scientology? What in dynamic? What are we doing?
Well, I can tell you shortly that Scientology changed my life, and it also saved my life. I came to Scientology 13 years ago, and I walked in there being curious just like most of us, and I was looking to become this amazing life coach in which I didn't already know that I was that. I was that. But when I walked into Scientology, and the first thing I saw was that they had everything that you can possibly imagine that can change your life, from things to help you with your health and your well-beingness, and I knew that this was the place for me. And guess what? 13 years later, I am still here.
You still here. Now, not only is she still here, y'all, what a child. She a New Yorker like me. Why are you in Chicago?
Well, partially it's you, Asada, and I'm not going to not say that and give you your props. You invited me to come and check Chicago out some years ago, and I was a little hesitant about it because you only hear of the negative. But I said because I knew you so well, I was going to take a chance and come on out. And when I did, the only thing that I experienced was warmth. I experienced the hospitality that I was accustomed to having that I don't usually get in New York City. And it made me say, this is going to be the place for me. In addition to the fact that we just built a beautiful new org here, I could not say no to Chicago.
Look, let's tell y'all something. This is the move from New York to Chicago specifically to help work at this new Church Scientology that we have here. Now, if you've been to the spot we had on Lincoln, if you're in Chicago, 3011 North Lincoln, that's cool. But, baby, oh, no, we got an eight-story building downtown Chicago, baby. We're talking about marble floors and just sheer excellence, just the straight-up, like, you coming in. I call it spiritual college. That's what I call it, spiritual college, because there's actually a gradation that you could go up to get stronger and stronger as a
spirit, you understand? A lot of people say, oh, it's a religion and all of that. Of course it is. Yes, it is. Ain't nobody straying from that, because the goal and the reason why it's a religion is because the goal is to be a stronger spiritual being. And so what are some of the things with moving to Chicago to be a part of this movement, Khadijah? What are some of the things that you hope to create, or you have faith that you will help create? What I want to create is a peaceful and safe environment for all, not just one race or one religion, but for all mankind. What I want to convey to the individuals from the city of the big shoulders is that we're here to service you in any way that we can so that you can get that spiritual growth that we've gotten, and that's why I'm here. I wanted to make a difference so that I can be the difference for the folks in Chicago. Girl, and the thing about it is, because we from New York, and in New York it's like three different churches of Scientology, right? But in Chicago, we're the only one in the Midwest. Like, what? So you're talking about Wisconsin comes to the table, Indianapolis comes to the table. I have a picture of you up, and then I got a picture of us in our suits. Ooh, ooh, me, you, Angie, and Ebra. Black women rocking it, all in Scientology, all different ages, different energies. And I have the book Dianetics next to you. Can you give a little clarity about the importance of Dianetics to our people and what it will do? Yes. So without giving it away, all away, Dianetics is like one of the first and basic courses that we have, and it's actually the game changer. And what Dianetics do is it helps you to understand the mind so that you can understand what's happening to you, and then you can actually do something about it to change it. That's it in a short, without me giving away really what it is and what it does. But I will strongly suggest that if you don't have a copy of it, that you get one right away and read it and make sure you clear all your words. Look, when she say clear the words, in Scientology and Dianetics, we do not play. You hear me? You are not going to go past a word that you don't know. Stop thinking you smart. Stop thinking you went to college. And because I had to look up a word one time. I was doing a course, and a lady saw me looking drowsy. So she was like, everything okay, Asada? I was like, yeah, I'm good, you know. So then she was like, where were you last feeling bright? And I showed her where I was last feeling bright in terms of the reading and, you know, stop being sleepy. And so she said, she looked at the paragraph before that, and she said, what's that word? And I said, of. And she said, good, what does it mean? I was like, womp womp, I don't know what no doggone of means. So I had to look it up. And so when Khadijah says, get Dianetics and look up your words, fortunately, and I learned this from Scientology, because both of my books have a glossary in the back. My daughter's children's book got a glossary in the back. But there's a glossary in Dianetics that helps you understand words you don't know. Even words that they're not all scientific. Some of them may be or not. But the fact that the glossary is there, you know, L. Ron knew. People may not understand these particular words. And so that book is a game changer, because y'all don't understand the stuff that we store in our minds. All of the people telling you you weren't anything. You ain't this. You mommy and your father. You got, like, just all of these things that can really have a hamper on our self-esteem, it gets handled with this book, Dianetics. Now, let me ask you a question, Khadijah, because I know you have to go soon. What would you say had the biggest impact on you? Because the next slide on the show is the Scientology books, baby. What would have the biggest impact on you, the Dianetics or the Scientology training?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. I'm going to say both, but I'm going to say that the first and basic is the Dianetics, and I'm going to say that if you don't know what Scientology is and you've never experienced anything in Scientology, I would say that you should start off with the Dianetics, the book, the seminar, and also come into the org and check out our life improvement courses and our introductory services. But that's what I would suggest and recommend.
Let me tell you, I see hitting you with it. So let me help clear some words real quick. So the word Dianetics,
If you yawn since I started, that's what you're like, oh, there's that. So Dianetics, basically, when you break down the etymology of the word, you break down the meaning of it, is how the mind affects the body. That's what Dianetics deals with. So you think you got diabetes, you think you got arthritis, you think your back hurts, it's stuff in your mind that is impacting your physical presence, behavior, feelings, and you can actually address those things by reading Dianetics. That's what it does, right? But then she just, Khadija just said, uh-oh, I'm bringing them up. She just said something about the life improvement courses. Y'all see them courses up there? Khadija, I got to say, I have time, effective time management, overcoming financial stress, how to get motivated. Tell me a little bit about which ones of these have you taken on, which ones of these courses have made the most difference in your life? Oh, I don't know if she's still there. If she's not still there, it's okay, because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you about these life improvement courses. And feel free, Khadija, if you come back, to stop me and add your 2, 3, 5 cents all day. But you guys, when I'm really excited about the Church of Scientology being at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, because it's going to be about you having the ability to get information. You know, life-changing sounds cliche, but I'm telling you right now, you being able to confront your finances, your money funny, good, they got to overcome in financial stress.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I had you on mute, so that background noise here. But for me, the courses that stood out for me were personal values and integrity, were the ups and downs course. And, of course, Dianetics book course. And then I went on to do the student hack and the purification rundown. Those were, like, the game changers for me.
Yo, those courses you just said, and I don't even have them up here, but they are part. It's like maybe 18 of them or something. But that right here, we're looking at how to get motivated. Successful parenting for tweens and teens. Look, if you have a business, the course Setting and Achieving Your Goals is a beast. I came into Scientology because of business, and I learned some of that technology first before I even got into these things like how to improve relationships with others. Let me tell you something. That doggone, look, how to improve relationships with others, y'all know me, I'm a nice person, blah, blah, blah. But when I took the personality test, I saw that it was low. I had a low score when it came to my relationship with others. And I was like, what? Not me. But no, there was a part of me that had a low tolerance for people. And so I wasn't that friend that you cry on their shoulder and none of that. I was the friend that is going to help you push through. But sometimes I needed to be more compassionate. And so when I took that course, it helped fix that in me. And so before you leave, Khadija, what's up with us and black people? I'm going to be real frank with this right now because I am into making sure black people get this knowledge so that we can end the strife in our lives. What do you see with this coursework, these topics, and our people?
Okay, so Todd, it's like anything. You got to be willing to put the work in, and that's the bottom line. It's never about money, even though we make it about money. But it's about you being willing to do the work. And if you're willing to do the work and you're curious the slightest bit about what Scientology is and what Dianetics is and what it can do for you in your life, stop being curious and come on in.
Stop being curious and come on in. I think, you know, you can see the normalcy in these pictures up here of Khadija, of myself. Y'all know me, but this technology is so freeing. It really gets you to that point where you feel like you have the ability to control everything in your universe. And so, Khadija, I know you at work, and I'll be there shortly, but I do want to say thank you so much for coming on today and letting our people know, yo, like you said, stop being curious and get up in here. Because all all Scientology is, and let me break that word down. The word Scientology, when you break it down through its etymology and comes from Greek, it means knowing how to know, or the study of knowing, okay? And so you're going to learn how to know things. Not maybe it's going to happen. No, it's going to happen. Not maybe I'm this or that. No, what you know you are. And so I thank you for coming on today, sis, and being my comrade, and showing people that, hey, sister's going to work it out. Brother's going to work it out. But we're using Scientology and Dianetics to do it. So thank you for being here, my love. I love you so much. Thank you. Have a good day. Peace. All right, my love. Peace. So you guys, it's like this. Let me, oh, look at that. That was her dolled up. This right here is important to me, because some people wonder why I'm able to do the things I do, or what, like that setting and achieving your goals. I don't do a book fair without doing that. That has the technology in it called the administrative scale. And so I do that so that I cross all T's, dot all I's. A business plan, that setting and achieving your goals will eat a business plan. It is so thorough. It's beyond what you could ever think you could write in a business plan. I've actually had people come to me for that training, and I don't do the training. All I do is buy the book. And guess what? These courses are like $50. So, yeah, you can come on down. Look, I'll be there later today, the 650 South Clock, and just see what the deal is. You can come any day. It's open 7 days a week. But look at these topics. Effective time management. Y'all already know CP time is garbage. I don't do that. This course not only helps you handle time, but it's more. I took it. I didn't think I needed it, but it dealt with so much more. I became a better planning because of that course. And then look at this, how to achieve self-confidence. I made sure my daughter took that before she went to college, because we already know what college could do. Definitely be able to handle them. And like I said, how to improve relationships. There are so many more. But, yep, if you want to know, or you got to connect with Asada, and let's make it happen. So I want to say this has been great. Gathering of the Griots today was so informative. And the show goes on this Saturday, April 20th. 10 to 6 p.m. Come on through. I'm going to put the flyer up while we end. And again, hey, be a part of the movement. Be a part of the goodness. I'm doing the work, but y'all come on and add to the fun. Love you much. Peace. And be there next week.
Come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. T. thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.